If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about: golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Mary Kay Cabot, who joins us right now on the fan hotline. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
We're doing wonderful. Are the Browns being fair to Shedeur Sanders?
I think so. I think they've brought him along really, really nicely in order to get him to the point where he can go out and function really well against his first reps against the first team defense. He had to get up to speed on certain things, and he's there, and they've done a really, really nice job with it, and he's done a nice job with it. He's been working his tail off. He has looked really good in practices, and I thought he did a nice job with the four snaps he got against the first team defense yesterday, and I think there probably will be more of those coming.
Then why are there people out there? And I'm not just talking about weird corners of the internet. I mean, guys like Luther Campbell, for crying out loud, who say the Browns are trying to hurt him. The Browns are trying to, what was the word that Luther Campbell used?
He says NFL owners drafted Shedeur Sanders in the fifth, thinking they'd break him.
Break him.
The day after his dad reveals he almost died, he goes 9-9. Browns response, roll out the owner to say he didn't want him. That's like telling a kid you're a mistake. Can't break him. He's built different.
I mean, some of this stuff's just insane, Mary Kay. Come on.
Well, I actually have never seen anything like the Shedeur Sanders rhetoric on the internet. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, things were crazy during Johnny Manziel. Things were crazy during Baker Mayfield. I've never seen anything like this. Now, of course, there is even more social media and more people out there now with a voice. But it is just a very, very loud crowd out there. And most of the people that are opining on this situation really, really don't have the inside intel to know exactly what's going on here and what they're really talking about. But it seems like everybody is selling it as though they do, and a lot of people are buying into it.
Mary Kay, should he start to get ratcheted up in terms of more opportunities with the ones, against the ones, or is this really something that as Browns fans we have to accept that they are going to slow play this?
Well, they're heading into the real heart of the competition here over the next 2 weeks, and it's really unfortunate that Kenny Pickett pulled the hamstring or injured the hamstring, because he was really starting to come on strong, and I thought it was, for the most part, turning into a two-man race between Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. And now I think Joe has the decided edge. And if it seems like Joe Flacco is going to be the week one starter, then I don't know if you can give too many first-team reps to Dylan and to Shedeur going forward. Some of it will depend on what's going on with Kenny and when he's going to be able to get back into this race. But I think it's time to start trying to figure out who's going to be your starter. And if you think it's Joe, you've got to get him ready to play the season. So I don't know if you can dole out a whole bunch of those very, very quality 11-on-11s, first-team reps to the younger guys unless you really, truly believe that one of them can come from behind and win that week one start.
So do you think we see Kenny Pickett during the preseason game in Carolina next week?
It all depends on that hamstring. They're reevaluating it today. We will know more about Kenny tomorrow when we get an update on how he's doing, how he's feeling. And it just depends. I don't know if it would be wise to rush him out there. I don't think he was going to play in the game anyways. I think one of the things on the table was to let Joe and Kenny really take the first team reps in the practice and then let the young guys maybe split that game too. I think they will split the Philadelphia game, Dylan and Shador. But again, the Kenny injury has changed the game here a little bit. So not exactly sure what the strategy is, but I wouldn't expect to see too much of Kenny in the game.
So you were there for Jimmy Haslam, ND's press conference, and of course he was asked about who really made the pick for Shador Sanders in the fifth round. Were you buying what he was saying? Remember, this is the same owner who took all the blame for the Deshaun Watson move.
Yeah, I am buying what he was selling that day. He said it was Andrew's call. I felt all along that it was Andrew's call. I mean, I was there throughout the whole process of the Browns scouting Shador and doing their diligence on Shador. I went to the showcase. I watched Jimmy Haslam talk to Deion Sanders. I watched everything that Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski did. I watched how intently they watched every single throw that he made. I know how well they got to know him at dinner. I knew they really, really liked him as a person, and I can totally see why. He is really a cool guy, and if he sticks around here and fans get to know him, they're really, really going to like him. But I definitely think it was Andrew's call, just like everything else that happens from a personnel standpoint is Andrew's call. Now, from who plays and who starts, that's Kevin's call. They know their roles on this football team. And sure, there may have been a day back in the day when Jimmy got more involved than he should have, such as with Johnny Manziel. But he doesn't do that anymore. He trusts these guys. He relies on these guys. And I firmly believe that when they got to the fifth round, they saw value there in Shador. And I think Andrew made that final call.
Are we being fair to Dylan Gabriel?
I think they're being fair for the most part in this quarterback competition, except for the fact that I do think it's starting to get to the point very soon where you have to be fair to the whole entire offense and the whole entire team and narrow it down and make sure that you're getting plenty of reps for the starter and that he has time to get his timing and chemistry down with his receivers, with his skill players, with his offense, sliding the protections, calling the motions, all the things that you have to do. I just think it has to be a smooth operation, and we saw last year that it wasn't. They were not ready to play that opener. They were not ready to play in the first quarter of the season. Injuries had a lot to do with that, but I think this year they have to get ready, and they're doing the best they can. But it's unorthodox to
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conduct a four-way quarterback competition, and it's a little challenging for everybody involved.
Great. Mary Kay, joining us right now on the hotline. So earlier in the show, we were talking about the weapons for whoever emerges as the quarterback, and I asked Kenny, is Deontay Johnson not only a lock to make the team, when all is said and done, could he be like the number two wide receiver on this team, which would have been just insane to say that like a month ago. This is a guy who looked like he was going to be out of the league. So what have you seen so far? Is this a big-time reclamation project they could potentially be proud of?
Well, yeah, I think it actually is. The whole thing with Deontay, he's got the talent. And when you watch a Pro Bowl receiver out there practicing, running routes, and catching passes, it hits differently when you watch a Pro Bowler. It just does. He's got Jerry Jeudy-type Pro Bowl talent. That's who he is. We know that because he's proven that already. So he's pretty incredible at what he can do on the football field, and that really hasn't been the problem. The problem has been off the field with the attitude and with the buying in and with being part of the program and kind of keeping himself together. And if he can do that, then they're on to something here. But that's the whole key. They're supporting him with the infrastructure. He seems to be falling in line. He seems to be getting along with people. He seems to be pretty happy. I saw him with his kids out there the other day. He seems to be fitting in. And that's the whole key with him. If he can do that, if he can keep that up, then they will have another Pro Bowl receiver on the roster.
What has been the interpretation of the camp so far? You know, we've had, it was supposed to be a tougher camp 2 years ago. Last year, it seemed to be easy. This year, some people are saying tougher. What have some of the players said? And honestly, I want to know maybe some of the opinions of some of the guys who weren't here last year and in guys who are in other camps, what they think of it this year.
Well, it is a tougher camp, and they started live tackling yesterday. It was a live practice yesterday, and we are all looking out there going, what? We had never seen that before in a Kevin Stefanski practice. We haven't seen it since back in the siren days of Hugh Jackson. And it was pretty interesting to see that, and all the players that we talked to, they loved it. The linebackers love the hitting. Jerome Ford, even though he's coming off of an injury, he liked the contact. Jack Conklin was embracing it. So I think they like what's going on. They know that they have to get tougher. That's the whole mantra of this football team this season.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the Fan Hotline. Are there any possible trades that the Browns could make or people they could bring in after the MJ Emerson injury?
You know, of course, they will keep their eyes peeled for cornerbacks and adding to that room and bolstering that room. I don't know if anything is in the works right now. Sometimes an off day like today is a day where everyone kind of regroups and figures out what's going to be happening in the next block. They're going block by block. But certainly this block was a little bit challenging because they lost Kenny Pickett for at least a little while to a hamstring, and they lost Martin for the season, you know, to his Achilles injury, which is so unfortunate for him and for them. So I don't know if they have anything in the offing right now, but once again, these off days are days when sometimes those behind the scenes things start happening.
How could the injury affect MJ Emerson's contractual future with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, he is in the final year of his rookie contract, so the timing for him is not good. He's got to get back, and he's got to rehab that Achilles, and he's got to prove that he can be out there and be healthy and be on the football field. And when that happens, I'm sure that's when they'll address his contract or do some kind of a shorter-term thing and try to get him back to where he needs to be. But plenty of guys come back strong from Achilles. Now, sometimes it's not until their second year that they're completely themselves, but we've watched Grant Delpit come back from an Achilles. Jordan Hicks had two Achilles surgeries. So it absolutely can be done. Of course, cornerback, you really, really rely on your speed. So it's probably tougher for a cornerback, obviously, to come back from an Achilles than it would be for some other positions. But he's young, he's determined, and the Browns certainly want him around and will do everything they can to keep him.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the Fan Hotline. Okay, what about DeJuan Jones? He's going into year three. It's a four-year contract, if I'm not mistaken, as a fourth-round pick. If he has a good season, could he end up getting paid? Could he get the money that they always wanted to give Jed Wills, but he wasn't good enough to claim?
Sure. This is a great opportunity for DeJuan. If you can make your mark as a left tackle in the NFL, you are going to hit the jackpot. And this is a big, big season for him. And he's getting battle tested in practice every day. Miles Garrett is never going to go easy on DeJuan Jones, and that's good for him. Now, we did see him get carted off yesterday, but it turned out to be only a heat-related issue, so they dodged a little bit of a bullet there. It was kind of scary to see him getting carted off. He was sitting up. He was in the front of the cart. It wasn't anything to be overly alarmed about, but still, you never want to see that in practice. So if he can nail down that very, very important spot, then he will hit pay dirt.
Is Quinshon Judkins out of sight, out of mind until we have any sort of an update?
For the most part, yes. I mean, they have had to move on. Again, they're in block two. They're in pads all this week. And the running game has been a big, big point of emphasis. You're seeing tons of Dylan Sampson, who looks really, really good. Jerome Ford is back in action, and he also looks good. And I think he's got plenty to prove since they kind of demoted him. So they have had to move forward, and I think they also have to plan for a possible suspension for Quinshon, so they have to see what it looks like without him.
He will play this year, right?
I believe he will, yes. Even Jimmy said the other day that he's cautiously optimistic that Quinshon will get signed and be back here. With the legal process still playing out, it's hard to predict, and this one's taking longer than some have, and it's hard to pin that down. But I do believe he will be on the field this year.
Mary Kay Cabot, we thank you very much for the time, and we will talk to you again next week. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot on the Fan Hotline.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.